Now, I know that there are a number of teachers among us this morning. Some prior teachers, previous teachers. Honestly, I don't think it's something that you stop being. Retired teachers, is this true? I think it's true. It's like being a doctor or a nurse or a priest, all of these roles. You are that thing. You continue to be that thing. Teachers, even though not all of us are teachers, reflect, because we've all been students, I think, at some time. Teachers, have you often written the words in the reports that you give to your students? How often have you found yourselves writing the words, needs to participate more in class? Fairly often. Those of you who have not been teachers, the hands up, any of you who've received that in your report card? Yeah. Yeah. In my report card, I got a lot of conscientious was a word that came up quite often, which means she sits in the corner and doesn't say very much. I think that's a fact in many of our lives. So when I heard the call of the Lord to be this, to become a priest, I thought it was the most outlandish and strange thing to have ever heard in my life. Lord, why are you calling me somebody who does not like to talk, somebody who is an introvert? I like to be by myself. I like to be quiet. I like to sit in a corner and not participate in class. Why are you calling me to be somebody who is going to speak for a whole profession? This is not going to work. And honestly, I fought against that call for the longest time. I resisted God's call because I thought, I'm not the right person for this. Lord, you've got the wrong one. I thought I was going to be a vet. I was going to be a veterinarian and I was going to look after animals because I wouldn't need to interact with people at all. It would just be animals and that would be great. And I would heal them. Fantastic. No, not at all. Not at all. God calls us into situations that we think we're not ready for all of the time. And for me, that was definitely the case. Our readings today encourage us as followers of Jesus to step forwards and to be ready to do things that we possibly don't feel very prepared for. And the thing that we are being pointed towards today is the willingness, the ability I think comes with time, but we'll talk about that, the willingness to be able to talk about faith. The willingness for when somebody comes to you and they say, oh, you go to church, don't you? Why do you do that? You would be able and willing to have an answer for them, to be able to engage. Now, that might feel really scary to some of us. That is second nature. And we will talk the hind legs off a donkey if somebody comes to us and says, why are you a Christian? We're like, right, let me tell you. For some of us, it does not come very naturally. So let me give you some words of encouragement this morning. And I think Peter is doing exactly the same thing. And Paul is giving us a wonderful example of doing just that as well. Firstly, when people come and they ask us about faith, there's usually two modes that they're in. When Peter is talking about being ready to give a defense for the hope that is in you, he is anticipating one particular kind of approach, and that is adversarial. When you've got somebody who isn't a believer and they want to challenge you, they want to ask you a really difficult question and catch you out. Have we had encounters like that? I certainly have. Yeah. And that can be quite scary because here is somebody who actually wants to get you to trip over yourself. That's not always the case, but sometimes it is. And Peter's words are very simple and they're very encouraging. He says, just be ready to give an account of the hope that is in you. But, and crucially but with gentleness and with reverence. The idea isn't to enter into a fight with somebody. Even if somebody comes at you in a really adversarial way, the job isn't to have a fight with them, to have a big stand-up argument. That's not going to work for anybody's good. The aim is to listen to what they've got to say and then to be able to say, well, I'm a Christian, I hope, because of this. And I think all of us have a reason somewhere in our hearts. The trouble, the difficulty, the challenge is to put it into words. Articulating that hope that is in us. And that's something that we might have to work at, but it can be there, and it doesn't need to be complicated. It can be very, very simple. Now, one of the things I do in my role is I talk to people who are experiencing a sense of being called into God's service. We call it vocation, those who are exploring vocation. And one of the first things that we have to do is we sit down together and we say, what are you feeling? Why are you coming into this room saying you think God's calling you? What does that look like? How does that feel? Let's try and put it into words. And it can take a long time. It can take a really long time to be able to find the right words to fit to that. But the work of finding those words is absolutely worth it. Now we see when Paul is speaking to the Athenians on the Areopagus. This is a moment where Paul has been, of course, traveling around the Mediterranean. He's been telling people about Jesus. Largely, though, he's been doing that in synagogues. He's been talking to fellow Jewish people. Not with a great deal of success, but he's been doing his best. And then he comes to Athens, which is, of course, an enormous city of culture and of philosophers and of great poets and of plays and of all of these things. And he goes to this central place where people gather to debate and to offer philosophies and to argue with each other in a very highfalutin way, to the Areopagus. And he speaks to them and he is able to reach areas where doors are ready to be opened. Paul, lest we forget, is a Jew. He hates idols with a burning passion. If you ever read 1 Corinthians, where he's talking about eating food sacrificed to idols, he immediately has about 5 biblical references for why that would be a terrible thing to do, why idols are awful. And yet he comes into the city and he looks around and he sees all of these idols and all of these shrines. And his response isn't to say, what a terrible bunch of people, they're not even worshipping God. It is to say, I see that you are looking for something. There is a gap somewhere in your life that you are reaching out for. And you are searching with all of your heart to find it. You have all of these shrines, even a shrine to an unknown God. You are looking for something. I have the answer for you. I have it for you. He's not judgmental. He's not aggressive. He's not pushy. He says, I know you're looking. I know you're faithful. Let me offer you some answers. And we see Paul reaching out to people who are quite different to him, but he's ready to give an account. And of course, being Paul, it is a very word perfect account. Paul is very good with words. We see it. Even when he's in an uncomfortable situation and a place where he's not used to being, through love and through respect and through seeing opportunities, he's able to share his faith with them. He gives that account. Love always, always is the key to what we do. And when we share our faith, that's the key as well. That we're not looking to beat somebody down. We are looking to share in love, in gentleness and in reverence. I have hope in my life. I have purpose in my life. I have a light that means I don't succumb to the things that can drag me down. Sometimes that isn't true for us. We are on a journey of faith. Sometimes our faith stutters. Sometimes that candle flickers. That's true. But we come back to when our faith is at its strongest, it has all of those things. It has a hope that lifts us. And that is something that we can share. That isn't a stick to beat people with. That is a wonderful gift to offer to them. And we can do that. Now, I'm going to say one word here. We are all largely of a generation where technology isn't necessarily something that we're particularly au fait with. But everybody, I'm sure, must have heard about AI by now. AI is something that's creeping around all over the place. Now, I hate AI with a burning passion, just like Paul hates idols. I don't think it's an idol. I just really don't like it. I understand that it may make things a lot smoother and easier in some fields. I understand that, that's fine. But the danger with something that at the push of a button gives you words means that you don't spend time looking for words. Don't succumb to the idea that you can just grab a thing and just quote it. Or ask ChatGPT, ChatGPT, what is the reason for the Christian hope that is in me? Having a pat answer isn't what it is. It's about looking inside of ourselves and doing the work and saying, for this reason, For this reason, I have hope. And we all have it. We all have a moment or a thought or a direction, something that helps us to reach up, and that is ours to share in love. And I believe that you can do it. The Lord believes that you can do it. Peter believes that you can do it. You need to believe that you can do it too. And you can. Work at finding a way to express the hope that is in you. And those opportunities to share will come. Some of them will be gentle, curious, interested. Some of them will be adversarial. These two different modes. But however they come, they are ours to use and ours to share in love. Be ready. Amen.